Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining. Hope y'all are having a really good hump day Wednesday. I know I sure am. One of the reasons is because I've got a great guest this half hour. Her name's Christina Reynolds. She is the Senior VP of Communications and Content at Emily's List. She served as Deputy Comms Director at Hillary for America. You've done all kinds of cool things. Frankly, your list of jobs, Christina, makes me very green with envy in the best possible way. She's helping us all put where we are in this historical moment as a country and as a culture in context, because I think there are lots of reasons to be activated, engaged, and to have some hope for what is next. She is, of course, with Emily's List. Why is it so important in this moment, Christina, to continue Emily's List work, which is to make sure that pro-choice women are elected to office in all gamut of races, be that state Supreme Court elections, local judges, city councils, school boards, and of course, President of the United States?
It's thank you for asking that, because I think the question that we've been getting a little more frustratingly is, well, maybe we just shouldn't, you know, if sexism was something that hurt Kamala Harris, then maybe we just shouldn't nominate women anymore. And I have an answer for that, but let me give you the answer for your question, which is because government impacts our lives in a significant way, and the people who govern should look like the people they govern. The reality is, too often, our issues are decided by a bunch of usually older, usually white, usually straight men. And that's, I share some qualities with those men, but not all of them. There are things, there are reasons why in the history of this country, for example, we haven't spent as much money on research for health issues that impact women or impact people of color or so on, because they're not the ones sitting at the table. There's a reason why we have a maternal mortality crisis that was not addressed, and particularly a Black maternal mortality crisis that was not addressed until a group of Black women said, this is happening, and we need to do something about it. There's a reason why issues like childcare were addressed when women started addressing them, because the bulk of care falls on them, why women are the ones driving the care economy questions.
Yes.
We need a government that represents us. And by represents us, I mean actually represents and is representative of the people that it governs. And that's why Emily's List does the work that we do. Now, we think we're pretty good at getting women elected. We've gotten over 1,800 elected in our history. We're ready to do some more. What we see is those women are the leaders who do amazing, amazing work across the country. You all in Wisconsin get to see Tammy Baldwin's leadership every day. Yep. You get to see Gwen Moore's leadership every day. There are, women governors, there are women mayors, there are, women senators.
So Christina, take up that question that you kind of opened with, which was a different frame, because I've heard people say, Kamala ran on abortion and women were, Dems were running on the abortion question, and we can't get women elected clearly, and we shouldn't be running on abortion. And I actually think a complete misread of actually what's happening. Yes, yep. There's sexism and misogyny and misogynoir, and we can still win on these issues, and women can win elections.
And we can, yes to both of that. It's a great question, Maggie. So I think, first of all, when you look at the Senate races that we won, the ones that I mentioned, Alyssa Slotkin, Tammy Baldwin, Jackie Rosen, we had someone do just a word cloud of the words that were most mentioned in the ads on the air. And if you take out the my name is Tammy Baldwin, I approve that. You know, if you take out those words from the disclaimer, abortion is the word that you heard the most in those winning Senate races. So that is something that I think we should keep in mind. Honestly, Kamala Harris was doing so well on abortion that what you saw from Donald Trump was there was a group called RBG PAC, which is offensive in that they tried to take her name, and that spent millions of dollars convincing people in battleground states that Donald Trump was not a risk to their abortion rights.
Yes.
That's how you know it was a winning issue. And it was, I can tell you, you know, I'm sure you all saw this in Wisconsin. In North Carolina, I saw abortion on the air from Republicans and Democrats, all saying the same thing, by the way, all saying, I'm going to protect your rights. I saw that on the air from state Senate, state House, all the way up to governor and president. So yes, it's a winning issue. No one issue is a silver bullet. There were a lot of things going at it, but, and yes, women can win. And I would point you to all those women I just pointed you to. You know, Kamala Harris and Hillary Clinton were different candidates who both faced massive headwinds in the sense of they were both running in change elections and they did not represent change, which is a funny thing given the history.
When it's a woman.
right. But when you're in the administration or your party has the White House for 8 years, you're not change. And that's something I think we should keep in mind.
It's interesting to me because in every instance where I have seen women ascend to positions where there haven't been any or very few women in those positions before, they always portend change. And they do so in very fundamental ways, but also in very subtle ways, usually to the betterment of everyone, simply because women think and approach things differently. Christina, I can't believe our time is already up. It is so good to see you, my friend. Cannot wait to keep this work going with you and others. My thanks to Christina Reynolds, VP of Communications and Content at Emily's List. We'll be right back. News, weather, and sports up next, right here.